Blog Talk Radio.
I got my head, but my head is unraveling. Can't keep control, can't keep track of where I'm traveling. I got my heart, but my heart's no good. And you're the only one that's understood. I come along, but I don't know where you're taking me. I shouldn't go, but you're reaching, dragging, shaking me. Turn off the sun, pull the stars from the sky. The more I give to you, the more I die.
Hello and welcome to The Art of Seduction, warm, wonderful poetry compelling you to the edge of your seat, sultry, seductive, and scintillating, ink to make you shiver, to make you sigh. I am Pam Ray. With me is my co-host Naomi Sarah. Naomi and I are poets on a website called All Poetry with a group of poets called Late Night Poets. You don't have to belong to the group or the website to call in, to share, to listen and enjoy, but it is highly recommended. Now, tonight is our central poetry night, and while we try not to, and we do not cross any lines. We do put our toes up to them. And if you find that this show is not your cup of tea, please check out our other shows. We have up to 1 to 2 shows per night on a variety of styles of topics and poetry, something to suit everyone's taste. Also, make sure when you get a chance to go to Amazon.com and check out the poetry anthologies put out by Late Night Poets, because when you purchase those, you not only get amazing poetry, you help support these radio shows. Now, for tonight's show, Naomi and I ran a contest on All Poetry where the prompts were focused around the theme of absinthe. And so I'm definitely looking forward to delving into tonight's poetry. And hello, Naomi. How's it going?
It's going good. How are you tonight, Pam?
Oh, you know, I'm doing great. I always enjoy hanging out with you, you know, hopefully, and some other cool poets, and, you know, just reading and seeing where the inspiration we offered up took people. That's, you know, the conversation and the inspiration are probably two of my favorite things.
Yeah, it's just so exciting. And how did you come across the absinthe theme for this week?
That is a really good question. And, you know, I think it came around like so many of my other prompts for so many of my other contests, in that I got lost down a rabbit hole. And and voila.
You met Allison with a glass hat.
Yeah, actually it was the Cheshire Cat and the Mad Hatter with the Allison. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's how it often happens. But, you know, I thought, you know what, it's a little bit dark, but it's also, it's fun, it's creative. It'll just be really fun to see. And, you know, we had a couple of kind of humorous quotes. We had pictures. We had, you know, different quotes. And, you know, it just thought, you know what, this will be something different. And I like different, so. And,
yeah.
And I have give a nod to Fill My Eyes for suggesting Nine Inch Nails, The Perfect Drug, as the intro song. I thought that was a great choice. I had actually found a song that it was okay. I mean, it would have fit the night. It was called Comfort Me with Sips of Absinthe, and it was done by like an independent artist. But when Phil brought up you know, The Perfect Drug by Nine Inch Nails, I was like, oh, my gosh, how did I not think of that? So very cool there.
Yeah, cool, dark, kind of went with the dark, like, metal vibe there, rock and roll vibe of the absinthe theme. So I thought that was a great choice of music.
Absolutely, I have to agree. And I would like to welcome Lawrence to the show. Welcome, Lawrence. How's it going?
It's going well. I enjoyed the music. I enjoyed the conversation so far. Absinthe is a hell of a topic, especially when it's married to the theme of seduction.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Sure is.
Absolutely. And the nice thing is like with a theme like that, you can go a little bit dark with your sensuality, or you can go a little bit fun. You can make up a story, or you can, like, use the absinthe itself and its ingredients and its process of how it's made, or, you know, diluted, or, you know, set on, like, the flame, used as metaphors for a sensual rite.
I was wondering if you knew that absinthe was banned from the United States for 95 years.
I did not know the exact amount of time, but I did know it was banned for quite a while, and in other countries, too.
It became legal, I think, in 2007.
Wow, that's recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it has a hell of a reputation, you know. hallucinogenic, etc. It was found that it doesn't really contain any hallucinogens, but the problem with it was that people who love absinthe have a mad and passionate love affair with the stuff, and they drink so much of it that the effects are as if they were under the effects of hallucinogens.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, because, yeah, I did read that a lot of times things were over-exaggerated as far as reports of absinthe also, and that certain details are left out. Like, there was this guy in the 1920s or something like that killed his family, and they blamed it on the two small glasses of absinthe that he had. But failed to mention that he had drank in several more shots of both whiskey and something else.
Yeah, it's probably all the other shots that were the problem.
Well, if you go to liquor.com, where they talk about absinthe, for some reason, I can't possibly imagine why, they're very fond of relating all the myths that accompany absinthe, you know.
Yeah, make it more alluring, I think,
That's right.
Some people,
they're
drawn to what is illicit and illegal, and, you know, what is, you know, they want to try this stuff, you know. If there's a scandal around something, well, there's some people that'll just bite into it. That's for sure. Oh, Phil just wrote on the board, it once was poison.
Oh, yes, wormwood.
Yeah. Well, they put botanicals in the absinthe, which is what gives it its unique characteristics. Wormwood is one of those botanicals, I think.
Yes, wormwood, sweet fennel, and anise are the three main ones.
Okay. Well, that's something I never tried yet, you know, absinthe. And I haven't, there's a lot of things I tried in my life, but that's one of the things I had never tried. So might try it one day. Never know.
Right? Yeah, I kind of decided, since, you know, I had never tried absinthe before, then probably the night of hosting a show wasn't a good idea for the first time.
might be interesting, though.
Jill says she gets in plenty of trouble with just plain old gin.
Here you go. Good one, Jill. And I'd like to welcome Tom to the show. Welcome, Tom. Glad you could join us.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hi, Tom.
Good. How's it going?
Yeah. Yep.
It's going well,
right,
Tom?
Oh, I'm in great shape. I have a room that's slightly caught up in that magical, dizzy, swirling business, and I'm feeling quite good, yes.
Oh, wonderful.
You know, I have that secret smile, as one man once described it.
What's that?
I said I have that secret smile, as one man once described it. There's a way to be delighted in.
Well, now that we have a good-sized party here, let's go ahead and get the glasses lifted and get it started. So, Naomi, whenever you're ready, go ahead and move us forward.
Yeah, so first up, I'm going to put up a poem by Neutron Bomb. And so I think a girl should read this. I'll go ahead and give it a read. The Northern Lights. He clasps her hand and draws her in, crunching her at the waist. Electrons pass through the Earth's magnetic field, eliciting magneta and emerald hues. Their bodies press together, absorbing each other through osmosis. Absence accelerates an exothermic reaction, and she draws his intellect in like stardust, sprinkled in lashings by the jag fairy. Steam rises as sure as a boiling point. Those firm hands imprinted on her ivory pelt like indelible obsidian ink contrasted on skin so pale it borders on translucence, forging new territory like Rome, surveying the Yukon Valley. She is warm to the touch, but icicles exude from her tongue. He melts them with wit and persistence. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Naomi. And I tell you, Neutron Bomb is so gifted when it comes to using imagery and metaphors. So absolutely stunning. And Laurent, let's start with your thoughts.
Well, it's a phenomenal piece. He introduces in the second stanza, she introduces in the second stanza a little bit of the science about how the Northern Lights exist. But basically, other than that, all of the effects one might expect from the second stanza are then transferred to the two participants. Their bodies pressed together, absorbing each other through osmosis. There's some remarkable lines in this thing. Sprinkled in lashings by the jade fairy, steam rises as sure as her boiling point. That was well done. And the skin so pale, it borders on translucence, forging new territory like a drone. This is really something. It's witty, it's sensual, it's grounded in science, observation, emotion. You got to love all that.
Oh, absolutely, and you're right. It does. It's grounded in science and both in witty and sensual. Those are all really good observations about this poem. So well said there. And Tom, I'd like to hear your thoughts.
I like how she uses the sort of a chiaroscuro sense of the universe, the black and the white, those firm hands are printed on her ivory pelt like indelible obsidian ink contrasted on skin so pale it borders on translucence. But at the same time, even though she plays with the hot and the cold and the indefinite universe, that somehow doesn't live in the black and white. Absence accelerates exothermic reactions, and she draws his intellect in like stardust, sprinkled in lashings by the jade fairy. She seems to understand that there is a quality of, call it magic, call it energy, that somehow makes us move in new ways when they come together and catch each other in a new expression. Almost as if our drunkenness is a revelation of what is possible, where before we only could deal in contrast. Beautifully done.
Oh, absolutely. A revelation of what is possible. I really like that phrase. Excellent comment. And Naomi, you read that beautifully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, me too. I love the way she plays with hot and cold in this, right? And you know what hot and cold together makes? It makes a hell of a steamy affair. But, or I should say in this case, heavenly steamy affair. But, you know, she has that phrase in here, he melts with wit and persistence. And, you know, well, that's the first thing that draws me to a man, you know, before anything else, you know, his wit, his you know, just the way he can, you know, turn language around or say something or you know, avoir, you know, in English, in French, you say un esprit vif there, you know, a quick wit, you know, a quick mind, you know, just to respond. And, yeah, that really draws me. I think that's so sexy, you know, when a guy has that and when a guy can captivate me in that way, you know, by his, more by what he says, what comes out of his mouth than what's surrounding it, you know. But that's my perspective. But I think a lot of women are like that too, you know, especially as you get older too, I think. And I think Neutron Bomb captivated that well, that feeling of being drawn in by, you know, by the... his mind here in this write. So very well done, you know, just an amazing write here by Neutron Bond.
Oh, absolutely, well said there, Naomi. Yeah, and I too was drawn to the fact that she mentioned, you know, intelligence and wit, and was really thought that was wonderful, because, you know, the brain itself is such an erotic organ. And it's so, you know, such a, you know, something that you are drawn to a man to for, mm-hmm. and so often is, as you said, his ability to play with words, to hold a conversation, you know, to just show himself to be a man of intellect. And I really liked those parts. Plus, I really liked the phrase, with those firm hands imprinted on the ivory pelt, like indelible obsidian ink contrasted on. And another one I really liked, their bodies pressed together, absorbing each other through osmosis. Just a beautiful, seductive lines, intelligent and very well done. And what do you got for us next, Naomi?
Well, next I'm going to put up I'm going to put an audio up by Eric Stevenson. I really like this, right? So whenever you're ready to press play, we can listen to that audio, Pam.
All right. Sounds good to me. Here we go.
Jaded attaché, pearlescent purr of blue Bugatti. Glides her to her favorite sidewalk cafe, casually quaffed to blend in with the locals. She drinks in familiar sights on arrival. She alights, pants are sleek. Au contraire, one could argue that feathers make the bird. But auburn haired Isadora defied all societal conventions, not by choice, but by primal instinct. She took her first Millet Meander Melange sip of absinthe before she spoke to the jaded attaché. Her voice floated up from subterranean evergreen caves. If I could explain, I wouldn't need to dance. Theatrics of long cigarette holder directed. Tremulous trepidation in my gut settled closer. Senator Schur, Isadora pointed to my virgin glass of absinthe. panther purr became a lynx cajole in vino veritas. A sensual, movable feast, maybe. I studied the toast of Paris, took my first melange sip of absinthe. British stiff upper lip, old chap kind of journalist, suddenly recalled the graduate with Dustin Hoffman buoyant on a lilac lilo. Primal instinct alerted Isadora. Gazelle glide, lean over slide before I could hide. She pushed her full red lips against mine. Invertedly smitten, my trembling mouth open to receive liquid amber absinthe. Florid peony petal flushes flowered my cheeks. Her lynx paw firmly pressed on my chest, she purred the benediction. You were once wild here. Don't let them tame you. British stutter backfired like a wounded spitfire. Too much absinthe leads to madness. Isadora's famous coquettish grin launched a thousand ships. Sworn never to speak a particular truth, so help me, Isadora. I try to work out the connection between abstain and absent. Where I lay spent between creased sheets and crumpled thoughts. End poem.
Great reading right there, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you're not able to call in, then making a reading of your poem is the next best thing, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And I have to say, this one has so many clever lines. I'm really looking forward to hearing the comments on it. And Tom, let's start with you.
From the title, Jaded Attaché, as if only to be associated is enough to have us be damned. And with the opening line, with all of his beautiful assonance and consonants, pearlescent purr of blue Bugatti guides her to her favorite sidewalk cafe. And so casually, we are invited into the magic, the madness, and the moment. And she takes him in and allows him to begin to sip and taste the toast of town, the absence. And in that, he becomes both participant and in many ways a slave to what she wants to create. And in that, so subtly she draws in the magic, the wonder, and all the madness as he tried to work out the connection between abstain and absence. Where I lay between creased sheets and crumpled thoughts. So we are led down the path to hell and damnation, wonder and amazement, all in a sip that we never realized could take us over the edge. Beautifully done. He reads this with a magic that is all his own.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you're right, there's a magic to the read. And I like the way you mentioned how she subtly draws him into the experience of drinking the absinthe. So very well said there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I agree with Tom. This is so brilliantly written. There's so many wonderful lines like the ones he mentioned. But, you know, this poem, it just glides in sensual swirls of a sophisticated, sultry lines. And, at the beginning there, seeing that demoiselle there, so coiffed and walking into that, I have the feeling of being in Paris in a suave, dimlit cafe in the evening. And he just so vividly brings those characters to life, which makes this tale so enthralling, right down to that stutter. And, in that SoundCloud, I was just, I hadn't listened to the SoundCloud prior to the show, but I just wanted to hear him imitate that stutter, and he did it so brilliantly. I was just captivated all throughout this, right? Just bravo, Eric, on this wonderful storytelling here and such sensual such a sensual tale here that you spun for us. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. And I have to agree with you. It is a captivating write. So well said there. And Lauren, your thoughts?
I don't say it lightly, but I think this has got to be my favorite piece by him. I found him to be particularly well-focused in this particular piece. I mean, top to bottom, it's tight. It is not a misplaced syllable, as far as I'm concerned. And for him to use Isadora Duncan, a ballet dancer who completely transformed people's ideas about dancing, is exactly the kind of character that you would want to use when it comes to absinthe, once considered a very daring drink. The title, Jaded Attaché, fits perfectly. You can see it in your mind. It's period correct with the blue Bugatti, which I really liked. But what I liked the most was when he recalls The Graduate with Dustin Hoffman. And the next line reads, primal instinct alerted Isadora. And then, of course, she kisses him. And his trembling mouth opened to receive liquid amber absinthe. That moment was so well connected with Isadora and her instincts, and she could read the jaded attaché perfectly. She knew it was time. And the last bit, where he lays in bed and works out the connection between Epstein and absinthe, is wonderful, because it's almost as if he understands that he can't take too much of Isadora. Too much of Isadora is like too much absinthe. You love it, but it will destroy you. Just a fantastic piece.
It truly is. There's two things I'm really glad that you brought up there, Laurent, and that is the passage, this part about the Graduate with Dustin Hoffman, because I really thought that added to the write and was a part that drew my attention to. And I'm glad that you mentioned how focused and tight the write was, because, again, that was something that I had noticed and really grabbed my attention, and I felt really added to the strength of the write. I think this is just a wonderful balance of humor and sensuality, drawing us into that first-time experience of that sip of absinthe with that alluring older woman. Just absolutely a creative and stunning write and very well done. And Naomi, what do you got for us next?
I have a poem by Impish Whisper, Credersip. Tom, I'll have this one and then I'll put up yours right after.
Thanks.
Is that okay?
No, that's great. That works out perfect.
That's great. Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. So this is a beautiful piece. Pam, if you want to give this a read.
Oh, I would be happy to. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Actually, we do have a recording for this one.
Oh, we do.
As I'm always happy to meet somebody, I much prefer Chris Tersett's voice to mine. So.
I'm sorry, I didn't see that. Oh, I just see it now.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, so here we go.
Impish whispers. Just a hug. Artemisia whispers. Leaf-laced elves dancing in her emerald eyes as the bar stool spins. She leans towards him, a silhouette of silver birch, French can-can thighs sliding in her ruffled skirt. Slips her skinny wrists around his nervous neck, wraps him in pale green paillette, fingers tousling chestnut hair, until her floating floret of amber wisps lights up a filigree of fire within his chest. Just a hug, she sighs, and we'll fly above Parisian mansards in a moonbeam montgolfière, glide right through the vanishing point to float on wings of dragonflies. And there, in quivering warmth, between the now and how, squeezed through the wear and cares, on a drift of crimson windmill veins, my lips will baste a pearl brocade along your agile limbs. We'll macerate our midnights and not return again.
Wonderful reading right there, Kresh. It's such a joy to, and the recording is very much appreciated. And, you know, it's such a joy to hear the various voices of our poets. And let's see here. Naomi, let's start with you.
Yeah, this is so beautifully written. It's so sensually elegant and spellbinding, and I just had this vision, you know, of reading it. It has nothing to do with the rite, but of this belle parisienne, you know, this Parisian demoiselle, and from autrefois, from a long time ago, maybe in the time of the chivalry and the knights, and kneeling to sip water, you know, from a fresh running stream, and just her hair flowing, and her dresses, and her limbs there, and that's just the vision that came to my mind. You know, this so elegantly written, the lines, they just flow so beautifully, and you know, the imagery, and towards the end, I mean, you know, we'll fly above those stanzas, you know, where the moonbeam montgolfière, and you know, the dragon wings of dragonflies, and the way she plays on the words now and how and where and cares, this is just, you know, like a floaty, so sensual, romantic rite, you know, it's just so beautifully written.
Oh, absolutely. And I have to agree with you. There is a certain kind of classic historical elegance to the sensuality in these lines. So that's very well said there. And Lawrence, your thoughts?
And there in quivering warmth, between the now and how, squeezed through the where and cares on a drift of crimson windmill varies. The poetry is stunning, and the read is a worthy accompaniment to the poem, a piece that engages and mesmerizes, at least in my opinion. Excellent.
Absolutely. It truly is a stunning rite. Well said there. And Tom, your thoughts?
I love those opening, those early lines. Slips her skinny wrist around his nervous neck, or she leans towards him, a silhouette of silver birch, French can-can thighs sliding in her ruffled skirt. were caught up in the magic of a moment and brought so quickly into a sensual eruption, a sudden flourish of passion. And then her closing lines, in quivering warmth between the now and how, squeezed between the where and cares, on a drift of crimson windmill veins, such a beautiful use of assonance and consonance while bringing together meaning and mission, so that we're left standing there almost naked in the light that she has cast upon us, caught in the wonder and the joy of a sensual awakening. My lips will base a pearl brocade along your agile limbs. We'll macerate our midnight and not return again. Oh, be baked and roasted in such wonder, to be a flavorful meal in such an awakening. She does a glorious job of showing how sometimes we think in drunken wonder we may awaken to splendors we never knew before.
Absolutely. There really is, like you said, a sense of a sensual awakening. So there, wonderful observation there. I really like this all the way through. Though she mentions the French can-can thigh sliding in her ruffled skirt. You know, there's something so fun and classic about the imagery of a woman dancing the can-can. And, you know, she takes us back in time truly with her imagery and her metaphors. And I really like, in there in quivering warmth between the now and how, squeezed through the wear and tears on a drift of crimson windmill veins. I believe there was actually, there was a dance hall, or not a dance hall, I don't know what it was, what the name for it was, but one, maybe it was, that was called the windmill or something like that. I mean, I know there's a dance hall, the windmill, but no, it's vaguely familiar to me. But what was that, Naomi? Sorry.
Was it the Moulin Rouge?
No, I'm thinking, I know it's the Moulin Rouge.
Because Moulin is,
But it was a place similar to the Moulin Rouge that had the name windmill, the word windmill in the name, I think. So, or maybe it was the Moulin Rouge. Yeah, that could have been it, actually, now that I think about it. Sorry about that. Oh, well. Occasionally, we all have to have those moments. All right. Sorry about
lay
that.
Off,
you're right there.
Lay off the absinthe, Sam.
Lay off the absinthe. I can't even blame the absinthe. Yes. That is, and actually, that's a very clever reference that she has there. I like that. I like that. And but what I also really like about this, besides the beauty of her phrasing, is as earlier today when she commented on a poem of mine, she had mentioned how much she enjoyed doing the research for her write. And I really admire and appreciate people who are willing to get out there and do the research and to help them create a quality write. So I have to, a wonderful write here and very well done. And Naomi, what do you got for us next?
Well, next I'm going to put up Tom's piece. So Tom, there it is. So whenever
okay.
You're ready, my dear
Let's
Tom.
Let's see if I can read this. Just a sip or two will do. There are secret places in everybody's mind where curious discoveries can change the course of time. ways of seeing that aren't always up for view. But once you've seen them, you knew, you always knew. Some swear it takes a romance, others feel it is Lady Chance, and some would swear by all they know, it only happens when you're not looking. So you find you are the show. It often involves a little help. Everyone has a favorite. They often keep it secret on the back of the shelf. It is a green spirit that enhances vision sight. It makes true the saying about how the heart grows fonder because absence is saying things we know aren't true. But magic has its holy wings. Wonder steals the breath. And love makes the heart sing. Everyone who has one or two of absence jests, or sure they did, but haunted all their dreams and desire lit fires they saw tinted green and left them sure they could too. There are many flavors to savor and wonders untold. The way the wormwood keeps your absence, even when you are in the room, is one of the many wonders, or so I'm told, that another sip will undo. So if I appear to stagger, it is only your double vision making decisions about what possibly could go wrong. So join me in this moment of final celebration before we are absent from consideration. Have one more absence with me. Toodaloo. End poem.
Great read and write there, Tom. I have to say, I'm glad you decided to take on that artwork there. I found it really intriguing and not particularly sensual, but I, you know, not the picture itself, but I thought it had potential to see what people could draw out of it. And what I really like is you went, this is a very intelligent sensuality that looks at the seduction of the mind. The trying of the absent and I really liked this all the way through, but especially that second stanza with everyone has a favorite, they often keep it a secret on the back of the shelf, is a green spirit that enhances vision sight. It makes true the saying about how the heart grows fonder because absent is saying things we know aren't true. Definitely food for thought there. And so if I appear, and just really a clever and fun ending, you know, so if I appear to stagger, it's only your double vision. Before we are absent from consideration, have one more absence with me, toodaloo. Just, you know, wonderful food for thought, you know, smile-inducing lines that really takes a look at the person we can become under the influence of the green fairy. So very well done there. And Lauren, your thoughts?
Well, basically what you said is exactly what I had in my mind. It makes true the saying about how the heart grows fonder because absence is saying things we know aren't true. I found this to be overall, a little bit of an ironic look at the effects of the drink. Couched in humor and intellectual passion, leaving the physical aside, leaves me musing, exploring the many alternatives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very well said there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed this ride all through, Tom. You know, there are many flavors to savor and wonders untold, the way the warm word keeps you at your absent even when you are in the room in one of the many wonders, or so I am told, and that another sip will undo. You just set the stage for the intriguing way that absinthe just digs into your head, and you wonder about it. You know, you wonder about if it has real power, if it has real if there's a real secret to it, if it's really if it really lets all these have visions and have all these hallucinations, or makes everything, life just more wonderful, you know. So you brought that all out, that like curiosity and that illicitness around that surrounds absinthe, you know, in this right here. I just thought it was so brilliantly done. And I don't know about the, you know, I wrote to you that I don't know about the supposed virtues of absinthe, but I have to try it someday. So I just thought this was a brilliant write all through, Tom. Just a great pen.
Wonderful comment there, Naomi. Great observations. And before we continue on, I'd like to bring someone on. So I'd like to say welcome, area code 111. You're on the air. Who are we speaking to, please?
Okay.
I'm sorry, who is this? Oh, Mamya. Oh, yes, of course. Hi, Mamya. Glad you could join us.
Yeah.
And did you get a chance to read or to hear Tom's write?
Oh, yes, I did. I really love the poem. Naomi says, I have three flavors to say, and one different tone. So we don't know what gets to add to it. We don't know more than the dangerous person I'm saying. I love the fact that you replace absence with absence. That's very beautiful. That's very beautiful. I noticed that. It made me think that like for the moment of in the inaugurated with the fact we get to mix words like that. It's very good.
Absolutely, well said there. And Tom, I'm really glad you were inspired. And I hope you'll stick around as long as you can. But of course, I understand that you do have to wake up sometime in the wee hours of the morning. And Naomi, what do you got for us next?
Well, since Mamya just joined us, well, let's have her read her piece. Mamya, whenever you're ready, Mamya.
Okay, thank you. The Green Fairy. Come, show it to me. The Green Fairy, you can explore the beautiful. and by the potency and then the feeling shared with this person that can have a problem. Pour out time and begin to leave when I extend strength to remain it. If it goes down, or does it go to sleep, it is not going to be a problem. Initially speak. Come, take my hand. Against the grief or anything. Or until the sun with me, or at least with me, can give my back to my mouth. Shaming me to the face. Thank you.
Wonderful read and write there, Mamiya. Thank you very much. I'm glad you were inspired. And Lawrence, let's start with your thoughts.
I enjoy Mamiya's pieces. The way she begins it, come share with me a tincture of green, licorice-flavored bittersweetness. Imbibe of the potency from my mouth to yours. A shared liquid kiss of ecstatic agony. That, in my mind, is the position that Absinthe, I think, has always occupied, that ecstatic agony. And that wonderful passing of the liquid between partners, that shared liquid kiss, is one of my favorite sensual images. So I really appreciate this particular piece because of its tone, its accuracy. Lovely, lovely job, Mamiya.
Absolutely. And you're right, it does have a really nice tone and accuracy to it. So well said there. And Tom, I see that you're still with us. My apologies. I thought you had gone. Your thoughts on Mamiya's poem.
I truly am getting ready to go off to bed, and I'm sorry. I am admittedly so drunk I can't really comment with any coherence. I'm going to pass on this one.
All right, Tom. Well, you get some rest and enjoy your floating ecstasy right there.
Good night, Tom.
Good night. Take care, everyone.
Good night. Naomi, your thoughts on Mamiya's poem?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm so happy you phoned in, Mamiya. This is the first time I get to hear you, so I'm so excited. I just love your poetry every time. This piece, you take us on a sinful dance of lovers and absence, in amazing, sensuality here. I just love the stanza, until the sun witnessed our nakedness, tangled like ass in a nest, sharing heat in the cold. The way you finished that off there, just awesome, awesome lines here. But, I'm with Laurent there. This is just, beautiful from top to bottom and so tightly weaved, There's not one wasted word in this. Brilliant written poem here. It's just an amazing, amazing write. So I just really loved it very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Wonderful comment there, Naomi. Yeah, I have to agree. I really like the way you have such beautiful lines. They just... they're very impactful. I like that you make the sharing of the absinthe an erotic experience, and not just erotic, but a romantic experience. And this is beautiful all the way through, but I really like pour out more of the green fairy, spare no expense, drink, be merry. And then also, do you feel it too? Come take my hand. I'll dance with you till morning comes. Wonderful lines there, Mamiya. Beautifully written and very well done. And absolutely. And you're welcome to stick around as long as you can. Always good to hear from you. And Naomi, what do you got for us next?
Well, I want to hear a little bit of Love Hat next. just me. I'm in control, so that's where we're going.
There you go.
So, Love Hat, I have your piece up.
Thank you, Naomi. This is called My Fairy Queen. My fairy queen in goblet green, her loving kiss sends me reeling. More she gives, the more desirable this cruel, celestial, demonic feeling. It eats my blood, my mind ablaze, turning, always twisting to and fro. No landscapes provide direction. I no longer know which way to go. Lying in wait, fast asleep in glass, she dreams and happy sighs, quite sure of me, faithful to a fault, prisoner of love's poison lullabies. Each drop of her I do swear my last, until the morrow raise its bleary eyes. And again I make endless love to her, pitiless, she brooks no compromise. Devilish, in a voice suited to her task, she invites me to her bed each day, where sanity toils for mere survival on a cannibal beach, life's castaway. So hangs my fate, distilled in tributaries. Sallow skin and bones are what remain. Her sluggish tide fouls the beach. Welcome death interdicts any further pain. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Lauren. I have to say this one was just absolutely a delight to read and to listen. And Naomi, your thoughts.
Well, first of all, your voice brought out all the power behind these amazing lines here. That it brought out like that darkness, that sensual darkness that lies throughout every line of this poem. I just thought it was so formidable the way that you could put the words cannibalism and death and make a rite so like darkly sensual all throughout, and that it creates that you're always hungry, always thirsty, never satiated. It's just such a powerful emotion of need and longing, that's a never-ending love affair with, like it is with absence there or somebody alcoholic and is just swooning on absinthe day after day, and it's a love affair that he's having with the drink until death draws them apart here. This is just so well written, all throughout it. I just dived into this right and slurped it up, and I just thought it was just fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. I like the way you said forked it up and because it is this one of those rites that you really want to indulge in. I really have to agree with Naomi here that, Lauren, that you did a wonderful job with the dark sensuality. And it isn't too many rites that can mention cannibalism and death and still turn a sensual eye towards you. I really like how this works so well as the way the mind and the body is taken over by absinthe, but also the way it's taken over by emotion towards a person. It eats my blood, my mind ablaze, turning always, twisting to and fro. My landscape provides direction. I no longer know which way to go. Those are wonderful lines right there, and this is great all the way through. But I also like that in the stanza following it with prisoner of love's poison lullabies. And her sluggish tide fouls the beach, welcome death interdicts any further pain. Just a stunning dark sensuality there, Lawrence. And is there anything that you'd like to say about your poem, Lawrence?
Well, drunkest I've ever been in my life was on anise. And since this absinthe is going to taste, I guess, a great deal like anise, it is very safe from my lips. I will tell you that. So I did write it with that darkness in mind, something that is so seductive to drink and its effects so powerful. And I must admit, I was swayed by all the myth surrounding the drink that I took that point of view. Thank you for your kind comments, everyone.
Oh, absolutely. I'm very cool there. I'm glad you were inspired. And Naomi, what do you got for us next?
Well, next I was thinking we'd put up another SoundCloud by Poetic Picasso by Frank. Oh, whoops, I put it up. I sent it to Phil. Oh, boy, she's going to say, what she doing? Okay, there it is on the board.
All right, and here we go.
I want you to be mine. Possess me then, like a sensual lover. Tell me your secret, drive me crazy, baby. Let me be drunk with just a long sip. Your tantalizing taste seduces me with dripping drops of the aniseed. So erotic is your sweet substance, I drink from its aromatic addiction, making my watery mouth savor even more its flirting flavor. Like an exotic elixir of a deep emerald blue, green of passion. Something about your incantation quenches a thirst of my parched lips, burning my inquisitive taste buds with one glass of its intoxication. As I drench myself in the liquid glow of your virginal attraction reflected, and I want to imbibe more from a liquor that turns into a milky white. I am simply infused by your playful pleasures of persuasion, be lost within the hallucinatory effects of your distilled alcohol, and stir the core of my longing arousal for a midnight drink. For I beg to be consumed by you, the Saxon vixen of La Fête. Les marches de route, les sens et la potion magique, ma boisson lubrique. Let me just taste the essence of your magical potion, my lustful drink. Oh la la, oh, oh la la, in the boom.
Great read and write there, Frank. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. And how fun to see Frank and listen to Frank mix things up a little there and put some French in where he usually puts it, the Spanish. Very cool. And Lawrence, your thoughts on this poem?
Yeah, the three stanzas preceding the stanza in French be lost within the hallucinatory effects of your distilled alcohol and stir the core of my longing arousal for a midnight drink, for I beg to be consumed by you, the sexy vixen of La Fée Verte, La Fée Verte, excuse me. You know, it's that part, stir the core of my longing, for I beg to be consumed. And that it's kind of the way that I look at this drink and its appeal. It's almost a personification, but it speaks of the addiction of the voluptuousness of the drink as it flows into your mouth. I understand that much of the appeal of absinthe is the very pour of it, the way it exits its bottle into your glass and then into your mouth. And I like the fact he did this in couplets, something I have not seen him do before. Well done, my friend.
Absolutely. And yeah, those are, I have to agree, wonderful lines that you pointed out. And yeah, it was really cool to see him do the couplets. I thought that really added to the right. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I thought he embraced the prompt like a long, passionate French kiss. He like, you know, it was just such an amazing, sinful serenade all throughout this rite. You know, and just the way he started out from the beginning with that straightforward affirmation, you know, I want you to be mine, possess me then like a sensual lover, you know, just come and take me. And then he goes all through, you know, with this so sensual, making my watery mouth savor even more its flirting flavor like an exotic elixir of a deep emerald blue green of passion. You know, it just, and those couplet after couplet, there's just amazing lines all throughout. So yeah, just so sinful and so passionate, like Frank can do it, you know, and just an amazing write throughout.
Oh, absolutely. And I have to agree with you. I do like the way that you started it set out with that positive affirmation that I want you to be mine, possess me then like a sensual lover. I like how this delves into the flavors of the drink, the experience of you know, savoring the absinthe and its anise seed flavor. Really wonderful lines in here, and I am simply infused by your playful pleasures of persuasion and stir the core of my longing arousal for a midnight drink. Just absolutely stunning lines there. Wonderful imagery and metaphors and a beautiful write. Very well done. And Naomi, what do you got for us next?
Okay, next I have a write for Laurent to read. If you will, my dear.
This is called Night Chills by Rich F. Absinthe, absinthe, adorations blow our minds ignite our passion. Senses tingle, tongue elation, incandescent crystal fashion, nighttime fever, feral feelings, tantric staring at the ceiling, how this sea-tossed room rotates, emerald fairy dissipates. Enigmatic these night chills, underneath the juices flow, pouring passion, poisoned pills, hearts now thumping and aglow. Open wide and jump right in, red cheek roistered in a spin, incandescent crystal fashion, absinthe prey, ignite our passion. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Laurent, and just absolutely a stunning write by Rich F. As always, his rhyme and flow is flawless. His ability to, you know, use imagery and alliteration to move the poem along really adds to the strength of the write. This is really a wonderful brevity all the way through, but I especially like incandescent crystal fashion, nighttime fever, feral feelings, tantric staring at the ceiling. Then the ending with the line, "Actions pray, ignite our passion." I really thought to have the end line be almost like a prayer towards the green fairy, towards the igniting, for the igniting of passion and the enlightenment that comes with it, really just was absolutely a wonderful way to end the poem, and it was very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I just thought, Eli, I agree with you totally, Pam, the wording in this and the alliteration, the flow, and, you know, whatever other mystical potion he poured into this, right? It's just mind-blowing the way he took us on one wild, wordy ride. You know, it's just captivating, his wordplay in this, right? Yes. So many fantastic turns of phrases in here. Senses tingle, tongue, elation, incandescent, Bristol fashion, nighttime fever, fervor feelings, tantric staring at the ceiling. You can just feel like it's just like you're twirling underneath the influence of drinking absinthe here, and just the words are just pouring out. Just a fantastic write all throughout.
Absolutely. A wild, wordy ride. I like that. And that's just almost a bit of a tongue twister there. Very cool comment. And Laurent, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Well, it really works as a poem all on its own, but as an acrostic as well. It's very well done because it's very, very natural, very unforced. Absinthe euphoria, he notes in his AN, euphoria being one of the side effects he's heard of absinthe. Let me tell you right now that there are many drinks, liquid alcohol that also render euphoria. It's not unique to absinthe. Perhaps it's a more powerful euphoria. I'll grant it that. I like this. I like the night chills because not everything is sweet and rosy after the body's had a chance to assimilate the alcohol, begin processing it, leaving you an awful sensation that you wish you didn't have.
Absolutely. Yep, I can definitely, I think many of us can attest to that. That's for sure. So great comment there, Lauren.
Yeah. Kneeling butt naked over the toilet bowl, holding up your hairs, you know, vomit all over it. Hugging onto the bathroom floor.
As everything's spinning. Yep. All right. And Naomi. Oh, hold on. Before we move on, I'd like to welcome somebody to the show. Hello, Rex. Welcome to the show. Glad you could join us.
Good evening, everybody.
Hey, Rex.
How you doing?
Doing good. Glad to have you here. All right. Well, I don't know quite who you was asking, actually. I just automatically responded, so, okay.
Everybody.
Probably wasn't me.
We're doing good. We're doing good. all drunk under the effect of absinthe tonight.
I wish I could blame the absinthe.
Be careful of that wormwood cholera.
Yep. But, yeah, it's good to have you join us. And well, I don't know about absinthe, but we are definitely drunk on good poetry and whiskey.
Oh,
good poetry
yeah.
and whiskey. So, you know. So. All right. And, Naomi, what do you got for us next?
Next, I'm going to have Rex read a poem by Incubus. Incubus 2.
Emerald Haze by Incubus. Poison tasted from the cold lips of my green-eyed lover. The afterbite of mistrust mingled with my own self-doubt. An opiate hungered for again and again. Hallucinations run wild within my drug-addled mind as she transforms from the confined constraints of modern perseverance of woman and comes to me with an ethereal emerald haze, asking in whispered reverent tones, do you love me? And so on.
Wonderful read there, Rex, and an excellent write by Incubus, too. I'm glad he was inspired for the show. And Laurent, your thoughts?
I love the way this one started. Poison tasted from the cold lips of my green-eyed lover. The afterbite of mistrust mingled with my own self-doubt and opiate hungered for again and again. I just fell in love with the way it began. It's half the poem, so I apologize for that. But this is really well done.
It truly is, and it's a wonderful grabbing. I honestly don't blame you for grabbing that whole first section. You know, I really felt those one lines you pointed out, the afterbite of mistrust mingled with my own self-doubt, really delved into the beginning of a sensual dark rite. That had that psychological aspect of darkness and the sensuality. So very well said there, Laurent. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Well, I'm all right along with you guys on that. I just love how this poem started out. And but, you know, right down to the end, you know, where, you know, she comes forward and she whispers, do you love me? You know, I love the wording in this piece. It's so well done. I won't recite the parts that I like because Laurent already recited them. But, you know, I love it from beginning to end. It's just an amazing, amazing brevity that doesn't waste one word. And, you know, a wonderful right to the prompt of absinthe all throughout, you know. So just amazingly well written.
Absolutely. I have to agree. And I do like that he ended with that question, with that idea of her coming forward and asking the question, do you love me? So great observation there, Naomi. And Rex,
that
you read that
so many guys out.
Right. And insects. You read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
All the bites in this, there are no illusions. He knows what he's getting and doesn't give a rat's hairy hind quarters. He's still going to indulge. The thought of the do you love me is more of a question from him to her as opposed to her to him, the backdraft of a mind trying to compensate for the fact that he's hooked, got that bait, that hook is in his mouth, and he's not going anywhere except to her and her alone.
Oh, I like that observation. Very cool. Yeah, I definitely could see that as first being the question coming from him, you know, because there is that real need to justify an addiction, to a person, an addiction to a drink. And I really liked this all the way through. And wonderful comment there, Rex. And I really liked this all the way through, that it was a stunning brevity. I really like hallucinations run wild within my drug-addled mind as she transforms from the confined constraints of modern perseverance of woman and comes to me. And what I like about this is that it works on the level of being a woman in the process of a dark seduction, but it also works well on the way absinthe itself seduces the mind, seduces the body. So just an excellent write and very well done. And Naomi, what do you got for us next?
What goodies, what goodies, what goodies do we have? I have a naughty poet up next, Katie, the naughty poet. And Pam, do you want to give that a read?
I would be happy to. And this is Absinthe by Katie, the naughty poet. And it goes like this. The green fairy is out to play, dressed as poison ivy, sipping her absinthe with a smile on her face, looking for her next prey. Absinthe makes the tart grow fonder, as they say. Green with lust, green with envy of your perfect smile and green eyes, addicted to luscious green absinthe's touch, a sting in the throat as it's swallowed whole. Our poison fairy wants to play with a spoonful of sugar, her full glass of absinthe, and you under her heel. End poem. I have to say, I really liked that one, and I like how she went with the picture prompt, but there was a couple other references to other prompts that were in the contest. So very cool there. And Rex, let's hear your thoughts.
It's the double play on the theme of ology. You can walk with the picture, or you can walk with the drink. I'll go with the drink angle because that's what she played heavily with. Absinthe makes the tart grow fonder, also a double illusion because a lot of women like that were called tarts back in the day. But she also hits on the note of a sting in the throat as it's swallowed with a spoonful of sugar, a full glass of absinthe, and you under a heel. So again, the double play on the angle, whether you want to hit on the drink itself or the picture as the motif.
Absolutely, absolutely. I like that you pointed out the double angle. And also, one of the quotes we used in the contest was, absinthe makes the tart grow fonder. The first quote I found to use was, absinthe makes the heart grow fonder. And then there was a comedian from I don't know what time period, but he came up with the quote, absinthe makes the tart grow fonder. But and it was probably during that time period where tart was, as you mentioned, was a word used for a woman of loose moral values. So really great observations there, Rhett. Wonderful comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
I finally found out what you meant, what was meant by tart, you know, because at the beginning, because we had tart, you know, but it's, you know, it's that like tart on our teeth, you know, la tart, you know, when our teeth, when you don't brush your teeth, and you know, is that what you call it in English too, tart on your teeth?
We call it plaque.
Oh yeah, well, you know, you get, you know, your teeth gets, well, it's la tarte in French. And you know,
oh, okay.
And I was there, you know, absent makes what the last drove on, you know, and I was there, and I was questioning myself about that, you know. I said, how can it make tart grow on your teeth? But anyway, so I finally got that figured out now. She attacked more prompts than one in this, right, with real brio. And, you know, with a naughty playfulness all throughout this rite, I just love at the end, you know, with the anew under her heel, you know, like her full glass of absinthe anew under her heel. It's like, you know, just the power there, showing the power of the overpowerment. Just a brilliant, playful, naughty rite by Katie here all through. So I just appreciated it so much.
Absolutely. I have to agree. I like, you know, that you pointed out that there's a playful naughtiness to this, because there really is. And she really did tackle those prompts with such joyful abandon and a wonderful rite all the way through. But I really like, you know, sipping her absinthe with a smile on her face. And that part at the end that you pointed out, Naomi, her full glass of absinthe and you under her heel. Such a wonderful way to end this poem, and beautifully written and very well done. And Naomi, what do you got for us next?
I'm looking here. I think I'm going to put a bit of Rex up, because I read his poem earlier, and I'm just dying to hear it in his voice.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so I'm just popping it in. So, Rex, get your voice ready.
No, all right.
There it is.
It's called La Fée Verte and Green Man's Tea Leaves. Blurple, those prussic blue and Tyrian fenestral pinwheels flecked in gray and gold confetti, smiling devilishly, were opium warm and smoky cool, where La Fée Verte filled this covenous den. Her voice was jazzed, beating inside the recesses of this molten gel pack. Smooth and bluesy, melancholy, with a sharp note of salty sargasso sass. A Julie Newmar purr mixed with Sarah Tidwell's grinding moan. Still hear her. How about you, Vincent? Did you lend an ear to that green fairy? Go mad like Rimbaud? Free fall wildly? Or burn dark as Crowley? Baudelaire, Hemingway, and Picasso bade cheers to that ache for her laudanum paint, hash breath, and black tar breast on which we suckled most greedily. As that Swiss charm wormed its way into our maudlin psyches, we came, open-armed, green man, into and poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Rex. I'm really glad you were inspired and that you called in to read your poem, because, you know, none of us ladies can ever imagine anybody but you reading your poetry. And I have to say, this is just brilliant and intelligent sensuality. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Well, if I pick out some of Rex's words, this rite got me all jazzed and bluesy and purred up. You know, I love the stanza, cheers to that ache for her laudanum paint, hash breath and black tar, breast upon which we suckled most greedily, so sinfully sassied sauce. Indeed, all throughout this rite. And like you said, Pam, just so, you know, an intelligent right, and just so, you know, it's so worded so amazingly well throughout. Just a brilliant, brilliant writer, Rex.
Thank you, Naomi.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree with you, Naomi. You know, I really enjoyed this title, Rex. You know, as always, well, I always enjoy your writing. It's so interesting to me. I never would have thought to start a central write out with Lurple, but it works. It works because it grabs your attention. And what I really like about this is that it has a very noir feel to it. You capture the story, you know, of this guy just enthralled by this woman, enthralled by the drink, enthralled by the atmosphere that he's in, that he himself has helped to create. And I really enjoyed a Julie Newmar purr mixed with Sarah Tidwell's grinding moan. But this was beautiful all the way through. But smiling devilishly were opium warm and smoky cool, where Lafayette Burke filled this covetous den. And then the name dropping, the Baudelaire, Hemingway, Picasso, Baudet, you know, all those different names that you drop. And what I really liked about this is what helps to boost up the confidence, the intelligence in this write, is that you give a nod to the Swiss charm. The fact that, you know, to be honest, until I did some research, I was not aware, like, that absinthe was originally created in Switzerland. So,
yep.
To me, yep, and so... Now, not only is this right beautiful and sensual and creative, but you just really, you show that you know what you're writing about, or, you know, or that you did your research, and the play on words is just wonderful here. And as always, the spacing. I like that this is the idea of a story of a man reflecting back to that woman, that drink, that moment in his life that really made an impact. So beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, thank you, Pam.
You're welcome. And is there anything that you wanted to say about your write?
I keep coming across people who dipped into absinthe. There was a host of people. Poe guy was into absinthe. There's a ton of Toulouse-Lautrec, a whole host of people who enjoyed the Green Fairy. And the reason, let me see, was back in, it was 1840s, the Swiss came up with it, Neuchâtel. The wine back then was good, but it was low in content, and it really didn't do a whole lot. The Swiss wanted something a little bit stronger, and it is stronger. And people think of it as a liqueur, but it's not. It is straight spirits, and it runs.
It is.
They made it. It
yeah.
runs from like 94 to 144% alcohol based. So it's a very high alcohol content liquor with a lot of flavor, and even got some sage and tarragon in there. The tarragon is also another touch to licorice tasting.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, I'm really glad that you were able to do that reading and learn some of that stuff. It's always great to learn things as you delve into writing a poem, at least in my opinion. So thank you. Glad you were inspired. And Naomi, what do you got for us next?
Okay, did we lose Laura?
Oh, yes, yeah,
Laurent
had to go.
Oh, okay. Next we have Passion's Promise, and I'll go and give that a read. Absinthe and me. I am what your heart and soul needs. a shot of some of this absence and me just watch the brewing spirit within the way I flaunt my bare skin. I'll undress myself before your eyes from shoulder down to thighs. Girls are envious of what we have. Who gives a shit? We just laugh. Let me loosen that tie and unzip that fly. Grip that thigh. No, baby, I ain't shy. Just sit on back, baby, and enjoy it. Have a drink right before I destroy it. I enjoy a good ride in rhymes tied. Up and down, baby, side to side. Let the spirit of the drink stir me to brink. My God, baby, you make it hard to think. Sweat now pouring, all venues touring. This green is keeping us roaring. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Naomi. Truly added a wonderful touch to the rite itself, and which is beautifully written, I have to say. Passion's Promise has a real nice talent for a rhyme and a flow that just is very, very natural. I'm glad to see that she was inspired. I really like these lines all the way through, but especially I'll undress myself before your eyes from shoulders down to thighs. And I enjoy a good ride and rhythms tied up and down, baby, side to side. There's, you know, a real sense of kind of a playfulness. And what I like about this is that it's very straightforward. You know, there's no guessing as to what this woman wants, what she desires. She lets this man know that without a doubt what it is she wants and how he pleases her. So just beautifully written, and I like that she did it in the quatrains for the first four lines or stanzas and then ended with the couplet, giving it almost a sonnet type feel, even though I think it is it's one stanza more than a sonnet usually has, but it still has that feel to it. So beautifully written and very well done. And Naomi, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it is. You know, she captured that girl in the prompt there, that sensual, sinful, kittenish, you know, lady, but that, you know, had you see the flame in her eyes there that just says, you know, come on, you know, I can deal with you. And I just wrote to her that she must have lassoed one hell of a bucking cowboy here, because she went on such like an amazing ride here. You know, a good ride in rhymes tied, up and down, baby, side to side. So, yeah, that's what I wrote to her. And this is just, you know, like you said, right, straightforward. This is what I want. Come here. And, you know, just written so in such a seductive way all throughout. Just a great, great write by Passion's Promise here.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment there, Naomi. And Rex, your thoughts.
Okay. The inline rhyme that's been used, it was used sparingly, which was a nice touch because it adds a little bit of flavor to it. Now, the first two stanzas themselves kind of stand out as almost a showpiece, something you'd see in a an outdoor cafe. The absence of me, everybody's looking at noticing these two flaunting, so to speak. The second one was, I'll undress myself before your eyes from shoulders down to thighs. Girls are envious of what we have. Who gives a shit? We just laugh. And it hits on the note of imbibing at that moment. Then the scenery changes to the bedroom, so to speak. And from there, everything flies a little bit harder, but it's also a lot, it's done in humor, as it plays along the lines of drinking absinthe and enjoying the burn that comes with it, as well as the eroticism gotten out of it.
I like that. I like that wonderful observation there about the progression of the poem. Very cool. And Naomi, what do you got for us next?
Well, if Rex is up for another read, I just put one up, but by Rare Rooney 664.
Yeah, as soon as it comes up. Ah, there it is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Drinks Deep by Rerooney 664. Green fairy lures me to slip in between the sheets. Another day forgotten, rhythm of the day on repeat. He is a ghost, she's the light. Blurred visions that start tonight. In the ether imbibing the green reverie. Leading the present, breaking the shackles, he is free. Heady slithering in and out. New colors blaze, his eyes have come about. So if he loses himself, he won't be alone. Absinthe in hand, the company that won't have him friend zone. Laughs at his jokes and puts him to sleep. Tying one off, he drinks deep and pumps.
Hello, Pam?
Yeah, it got real quiet in there.
Why
don't you
start
in the comment there, Naomi?
Yeah. Well, I thought this was a great take on the prompt. You know, it has a sensual, dark dance with a drinking absinthe until she does, you know, until the absinthe does literally blow his mind into ravery. Here, you know, it's just, you know, a deep dance with the drink itself until he just goes it back, breaking into the shackles. He is free, heating, slithering in and out. New colors blaze. His eyes have come about. You know, he's just losing himself totally in the drink, and just, you know, till he drinks himself into a drunken stupor here. And, you know, just, you know, he's talking to himself. He's seeing himself. He's friend-zoning himself. And, you know, he's laughing at his own jokes. You know, so just a great write by, you know, that made me, you know, it has darkness throughout it too, but, you know, like sharp biting humor too in it throughout it. So that's what I thought. Pam, are you back?
I am. And great comment there, Naomi. And I have to agree with you that there is a biting darkness to the humor in here. And I like that he delved into a bit of the darker side of imbibing in the green fairy. So just a really clever write and very well done. And Rex, your thoughts?
Oh, let's see. It works on two angles, although if you do read it, you can see the other angle. It slips in the double entendre realm. It's on that first stanza. He is a ghost, she's the light, and slip in between the sheets, the green fairy beckons. So there's that note to that. And in the breaking shackles, he is free, so he feels constricted. The new Collins plays his eyes that comes with the drink itself. And the finishing end sits on the note, the finishing end, as well as whether passing out or enjoying himself.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. And great observation there. Very well said. And I'm not sure which one you had planned next, Naomi, but we should probably make sure to get a Weaver of Dreams poem in.
So that's the one I'm putting up.
Oh,
yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So there she is up.
All right. And let's go ahead, find that recording, and here we go.
The day ends, your job is done. Now the time has come for fun. You meander to that bar in Old Walmart. The sun is setting as you think of sugar cubes and a dark green drink. It's a lark, a spree. Through clouded eyes you see that a spoonful of sugar makes the absinthe go down. The absinthe go down, the absinthe go down. Just a spoonful of sugar makes the absinthe go down in a most delightful way. Languidly waiting in your glass is a blend of licorice. Potent herbs produce some bitterness. As you sip your herbal drink, take my advice, don't try to think. And hence, you'll see, after a glass or three, that just a spoonful of sugar makes the absinthe go down, the absinthe go down, the absinthe go down. Just a spoonful of sugar makes the absinthe go down in a most delightful way.
Wonderful reading right there, Weaver. I have to say that ending where you broke out into song really just made me smile. Weaver says she's going to try absinthe and report back to us, and I told her that's a report I definitely look forward to reading. This was just a fun. It was delightful. It was sensual. I particularly liked about the singing at the end, but also languidly waiting in your glass is a blend of licorice, potent herbs produce some bitterness as you sip your herbal drink. You know, just a wonderful lines there and very well done. And Rex, your thoughts?
I was wondering if anybody was going to take the spoonful of sugar angle and run with it. Although
the Mary Poppins.
Yeah. Although
Mary Poppins high on absinthe.
It's usually done with a sugar cube. And you pour a little water over. But what a lot of people don't know is that all these big wigs who got into this this blended little bit of green fairydom were also doing other things along with it, like opium, hash, laudanum, even some cocaine. So there was a lot of other stuff that helped bring out the Green Fairy while the Green Fairy was prominent.
Ah, well, that's cool to know.
Oh.
Yeah. Rex is always full of tidbits of knowledge and wisdom. And great comment, Rex. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I loved Weaver on this write. I loved how she captured the reader's attention right away in the first stanza. Like you did, the day ends, your job is done. Now the time has come for fun. And then the nonchalant suaviness of the character, you know, in the following lines there, that stanza where he meanders into the bar. And then, you know, the description of the absinthe itself is so vividly portrayed in that third stanza. And the way she speaks of the character and, you know, the repetition used, it makes it the whole thing just like, you know, a playful sexiness going on throughout this whole ride here. So just bravo, Weaver of Dreams, on this ride.
Absolutely. Great comment. And what do you got for us next? I believe we have one more recording left, if I remember
do we?
Right. Yes.
Yes, we do. Oh, yes. Wait, I'll go get it.
All right.
Yeah, sponsorism, spoonerism. Yes. Okay, I got it. True, I forgot that was an old audio. Thank you, Pam, for reminding me. There it is. It's in.
All right, and I'll go ahead and mosey over to the studio and find that and push play.
Hi, this is Ia coming to you from this Victorian bathroom to read you my poem written for the Absinthe Makes the Heart Grow Fonder contest. And I don't have an absinthe spoon or a decanter on hand, but I do, in fact, have this green fairy in the marble basin of this old sink. Now, a spoonerism is a verbal error in which a speaker accidentally transposes the initial sound or letters of two or more words, often to humorous effect. And I named this regarding the spoonerism inveritably, which is a mixture of inevitably and invariably. Seduction is connection. Pour the absinthe on the hat. Of sugar for exemption, tempest fugit every slat. In the sterling spoon's infusion, will inform you with regret that the fairies in collusion with the devil's own briquette. Should such spoonerisms cost you, it invariably shall. Take your time and let your senses get the best of that green gal.
Wonderful read and write there, Ia. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. You know, I really like that you went with, this made me smile. First of all, the use of the word spoonerisms. I actually ran a contest before on spoonerisms, and it's just funny because it's the whole idea of mixing up words, and it fits so well in a write like this because you can just picture somebody sipping that absinthe, just slowly mixing words up more and more. It also takes me back to the time when I shared an apartment with my 3 out of my 4 kids and had to do the poetry shows while locked in the bathroom. I thought this was a wonderful brevity all the way through, but I like that she mentions the tempest fugit every slat in the sterling spoon's infusion will inform you with regret that the fairy in collusion with the devil's own briquette. That whole idea to me, those lines there speak of how what the green fairy simply does, the absence does is bring out the devil that was already inside of you waiting to get out. A clever write and very well done. And Rex, your thoughts?
Well, I like the tempest fugit, time flies, and the run with the that sterling spoon, which does have, it is slotted, so you just let the sugar cube sit there and pour a little bit of water over it to get it to go on its run. But the thought with the spoonerism works both ways because, we do it within ease of circumstance while speaking, but this hits on the notion of that thick tongue, which is which comes with the green fairy and runs on that level, especially the devil's own briquette and the collusion with the fairy. So you invariably end up with a thought that, can you break that down and actually explain what you just said? I said, no, I couldn't say it again if I tried.
Absolutely. Well said there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I love how she played on the words here, you know, with the spoonerism, and she made up that title, inveritably. And I probably do a lot of spoonerism because, you know, I mix up French and English words, so maybe I do some spoonerism without even knowing it, you know, as if I'm high on absinthe. But anyway, yeah, I like how she takes us through all the experience here of, you know, the spoon and you know, that she brings up the fairy and the devil with his briquette. Briquette, is that a lighter? And is that the same as in French, briquette, a lighter to light up?
I think it is.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, so just a formidable play on words and rhythm and flow here. So just bravo for this write, you know, all through. I just enjoyed it so much.
Absolutely. Well said there. And I'd like to say this has been a wonderful show. Great show, Naomi. Thank you, as always, for being an awesome co-host. Thank you to Mamya, Tom, Laurent, and Rex, all for calling in and sharing your time and voices with us. Thank you to Robbie and Weaver for hanging out on the board. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. And I believe we don't have a whole lot of carryovers left, so the little that we have left, we'll have at the beginning of the next Art of Seduction show that Naomi and I do together. And have a good night, everyone. Love you all.
Good night.
Good night.